WhatsApp used to be the most trusted messaging app in the world. No ads, no spam, just private messages, and people loved it. Over 2 billion people use WhatsApp. Then users saw one pop-up that changed everything. Accept the new terms or lose access. And after users read the terms, they began to flee. What was in that pop-up? This is how WhatsApp betrayed its users and why they created an even bigger problem. It wasn't always this way. In 2009, WhatsApp started with one simple goal: to be cheap, reliable replacement for SMS text messaging. It was meant to be simple, with no ads, no games, and no distractions. Just messages. The founders, John Coombe and Brian Acton, were ex-Yahoo engineers. They had seen the dark side of the internet, the spammy, ad-stuffed portals that prioritized clicks over user experiences, and they hated it. Coombe even had a note taped to his desk that read, "No ads, no games, no gimmicks." This anti-corporate stance was baked into the product, and the biggest part was privacy. A big part of that came in 2016, with the full rollout of end-to-end encryption, which is huge. Imagine your message is locked in a box. Only you and your friend have the key. No one can open it except you two. Not your ISP, not a random hacker, not even the app itself. Journalists and privacy advocates hailed WhatsApp as a rare major app that was private by default. But there was a problem. WhatsApp had gotten big, really big. By 2014, it had 450 million monthly active users. It was the biggest messaging app on Earth, and even had about double WeChat in China. And success brings attention. In 2014, Facebook announced they would buy WhatsApp for $19 billion. Though many were nervous about what this meant long term. You had a privacy-first company now owned by the world's biggest data mining operation. Yet, the encryption rollout actually came after the acquisition. It was a giant paradox, and Facebook seemed to have a conflict of interest. And sure enough, after the encryption rollout in 2016, some things started going wrong. At this time, Zuckerberg was trying to build an empire: Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, leveraging data from all three. WhatsApp quietly introduced a policy change that allowed it to share more user metadata, things like phone numbers, device IDs, and usage data with Facebook. This data was used for things like friend suggestions across platforms and better ads on Facebook. Even if ads wouldn't appear on WhatsApp, users were becoming a bit concerned. Luckily, they were given an option to opt out of the specific sharing, so for the moment, things seemed to be okay. But there was a bigger problem. 400 million terabytes of data hit the internet daily. Meanwhile, your tabs multiply, your read later list grows, and valuable content sits unwatched because you don't know what's worth your time. You're buried in information but can't find what matters. That's where our sponsor Recall becomes invaluable. Recall is a personal AI encyclopedia where all your content is automatically organized, connected, and stored in an AI-powered knowledge base, so you can recall it and relearn it. The browser extension enables one-click saving, generates summaries, and lets you chat with all your content: YouTube videos, PDFs, articles, podcasts, and even TikToks on mobile. But how is this different from every other AI? LLMs like ChatGPT have a strong tendency to hallucinate. Even if it gives you a source, it will often make things up and confidently state them. With Recall, everything is pulled from your knowledge base, so you know it's coming from real content you've added. You can add specific sources, and it'll even mention the timestamp of the video it's pulling from. And they just released a giant new feature, AI Note Taker. A Notion-like block editor, and as someone who uses Notion every day for YouTube, jumping into Recall feels natural. Recall also comes with a mobile app, so before committing to that 4-hour podcast, you can ask the Recall chat if it's worth to listen, then decide. You can build a knowledge base on desktop and on the app, and with Recall, you can build a lifelong knowledge base with unlimited sources that's searchable and accessible forever. Click the URL in the description to try Recall for free, and use my code LOGIC25 to get 25% off your Recall Plus subscription until January 1st, 2026. Thank you to Recall for supporting our videos. By 2020, WhatsApp had become one of the most used apps on the planet, with over 2 billion users. But despite that massive scale, it wasn't making any money. While there were no ads, there was a subscription model of 99 cents per year, and you get your first year free. This was primarily to cover the cost of message backups. It had no obvious high-margin business model. WhatsApp was still primarily a free service, and the revenue it did generate was minimal compared to its parent company. Facebook, which remember is a public company, was under immense pressure to monetize or extract value in other ways. WhatsApp was built and marketed as a privacy-first app, a secure way to connect people, but financially, it was now an extension of the world's most aggressive ad company. Deep down, users knew what was inevitable, they just didn't want to believe it. The question wasn't if the privacy promise would break, but how and when. On January 4th, 2021, WhatsApp pushed a full-screen terms of service update, and at first, it seemed pretty normal. Then, users looked inside. We may share information about you within our family of companies to facilitate, support, and integrate their activities and improve our services. This includes information about your activity, the time, frequency, and duration of your activities and interactions. The features you use like are messaging, calling, status, groups, including group name, group picture, group description. Payments or business features, profile picture, about information, whether you are online, when you used our services last. But that's just the beginning. Information like hardware model, operating system information, battery level, signal strength, app version, mobile network, language and time zone, IP address, device operations, information. Pretty much anything and everything on WhatsApp would now be taken. It was all free game for Zuckerberg. He was coming for all of it. The subtle opt-out option that was available in 2016 was also gone for most users outside the European Union. But it gets worse. If users didn't agree by February 8th, they would lose access until they accepted, and WhatsApp deletes inactive accounts and their data after a certain period of time. It was a strong-arm tactic designed to force agreement. WhatsApp was dropping the Privacy Act, and people were outraged. The pop-up, coupled with the existing distrust of Facebook following scandals like Cambridge Analytica, was interpreted by millions as, WhatsApp is now sending all my private chats to Facebook. Within days, people started leaving and downloading the rival messaging apps. Specifically, Signal and Telegram went completely insane. Signal's installs in January grew 5,001% to 50 million. Telegram also had huge growth. Users weren't quietly accepting the terms like WhatsApp hoped, so they began to scramble. Their first move was damage control. They published blog posts and detailed FAQ pages, stressing repeatedly that personal messages remained end-to-end encrypted and that the policy changes only affected interactions with businesses and the collection of metadata. But people weren't convinced. The trust was already broken. Then came tweets, press releases, anything to quell the outrage, but it wasn't working. They also launched a highly visible PR push inside the app, using its own status feature, the equivalent of an Instagram story, to post messages like, "We can't see your private messages or hear your calls." But that didn't help either. WhatsApp, or rather Facebook, had shown their hand. Under all this pressure, WhatsApp was forced to push back the enforcement deadline, moving it from February 8th to May 15th. They explicitly stated the delay was necessary to clean up misinformation and confusion. But by this time, millions had already fled, and while WhatsApp had delayed the deadline, they had not removed the policy itself. WhatsApp was no longer privacy-focused. They spent years building an entire brand on the promise of privacy, and suddenly changed the rules. Yet, this clearly wasn't the end of the story. It wasn't just users who were annoyed by WhatsApp's aggressive tactics. Regulators, courts, and governments around the world quickly realized that WhatsApp was far more than just a simple messenger. It was a massive data pipeline, and its new policy was a direct attempt to force that pipeline to feed it all to Facebook. Now the app was under global scrutiny, yet it came from two completely different directions. On one side, you had the regulatory bodies fighting for consumer protection. In 2021, Ireland's Data Protection Commission, which oversees many US tech giants in Europe, hit WhatsApp with a 225 million euro fine. The commission argued that WhatsApp failed to properly explain to users what data it was collecting and how it was sharing that data with Facebook. But that was only part of it. It was also because WhatsApp was collecting phone numbers of users, not even on WhatsApp. When someone joined and WhatsApp politely asked to add their contacts, they were secretly taking all those numbers without permission. And this was just the beginning. In India, WhatsApp's biggest market by far, the 2016 and 2021 privacy policies were dragged all the way to the Supreme Court. They argued WhatsApp was using its market dominance to strong-arm users into sharing more data with Facebook for commercial targeting. Ordinary people had no meaningful way to refuse the terms without abandoning their primary means of communication. Accept no privacy or lose connection with everyone. Yet, there was an irony here. While one set of governments was arguing WhatsApp was sharing too much data with Meta, another part was arguing it was sharing too little with them. The Indian government also demanded new traceability rules, basically the ability to identify the first originator of a message when required by law enforcement. The encryption was being exploited for organized crime, but also fake news, false rumors, and even terrorism. Though many saw this as a way to track those who were just critical of the government. In practice, this would require WhatsApp to build a backdoor or a tagging mechanism. Of course, that would fundamentally break end-to-end encryption. In response, WhatsApp sued the Indian government. They argued that the new rules would effectively destroy end-to-end encryption and mean the end of privacy on the service, forcing them to turn into a surveillance tool. Ironic given the 2021 update, but WhatsApp wasn't entirely wrong. Is a platform still private if the government has full access? Is WhatsApp too private or not private enough? Or is it both? WhatsApp won trust by being the opposite of Facebook. Encrypted, simple, no ads. The 2021 update revealed that behind the privacy branding, it was always going to become another data pipe feeding Meta. They didn't fully reverse the policy. They just slowed it down and messaged it better. Many people fled, but long-term, WhatsApp has still grown. In user count, yes, but also into a different kind of app. Most people stayed because of network effects and convenience. Speaking of growth, if y'all could help this channel grow to 1 million subscribers, I'd be very grateful. But anyway, one thing is clear. That original mission from the co-founders, no ads, no games, no gimmicks, is gone. At the end of the day, I sold my company. I sold my users' privacy to a larger benefit. I made a choice and a compromise, and I live with that every day. Another app which betrayed their users is Duolingo, except they didn't do it with privacy, but with AI. Check out this video to learn more, but until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.